The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It's definitely been a whirlwind. Just my family was established there, and we had school and things like that. We had friends, but it's also a part of the business. I feel like coming here is definitely my best chance of winning and being able to help the guys here that have made big moves and done great things in this league. So I'm here to really just help step up that game and become a champion.
No, it's interesting. Jrue Holiday at his introductory press conference in Boston, they were saying great things about him, Brad Stevens, Rick Grosbeck, and the ownership group saying great things about Jrue Holiday. Holiday saying great things about them. It's all love. And then Lauren Holiday, Drew's wife, saying some things about the Milwaukee Bucks that got our attention. And her point is, we're not entitled. Listen, it's business. We understand that in this business, this entertainment business that we're in, sometimes you get traded, sometimes you got to go to a different city. But, you know, we are human beings. We got families. We got kids. We got community relationships. And Milwaukee Bucks, Lauren Holiday is saying, and Milwaukee Bucks, treat us with that type of respect because we deserve it. Now, listen, we got the homie Lawrence Jackson here today. And Lawrence,
what do you do?
I'm going to ask you off the top. I'm just wondering, how do you think we're going to get along today? How do you think we're going to get along?
We're going to for sure get along good enough, because I made sure of it. You know, we're going to have some nice back and forth here, and it's going to be good. It's going to be good energy, definitely.
See, I like that. See, like, we already know that even though we can disagree, we can also get along. And
indeed,
I think the theme of today's show, it sounds like it's going in this direction. You go back to the early 1990s, Rodney King talking to a nation that had just witnessed the Los Angeles riots, and Rodney King looking around and he's wondering about how everything was on fire and people were literally and figuratively on fire. And Rodney King says, Can't we all just get along? That's the theme of today's show. Can't we all just get along? Answer is no. Answer, no, we cannot.
It ain't going to happen. It just ain't going to happen. We can try.
It ain't going to happen.
We can strive, but yeah.
So, like, what do you read from Lauren Holiday's take? Lauren Holiday is actually just putting it out there, and she's not the first. Certainly won't be the last. She's saying they didn't, the corporate structure known as the Milwaukee Bucks didn't show them any type of personal respect and did not think about their humanity before they made this move. What do you think?
Well, you know, they didn't, but the reason they didn't is because it's a business. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like Jrue Holiday gave the answer, as we just saw in his little presser. He gave the answer that he gave, like, the politically correct answer. He gave the, you know, there's always a silver lining answer. I think his wife gave more so of the real answer of how they're all feeling, especially how they felt in that organization. Like, they went to go get this dude to help Giannis win the championship. And like she said, you know what I'm saying? They was doing things in their community. You know, when you got kids, you got them in schools, you got them in functions. So they got friends, and then you build personal relationships with people off the court that's, you know what I'm saying, that's not just basketball. So I think her answer was more so like the real human answer, and Drew Holiday answer was more so like, I'm an athlete, this is what we do, this is the business, yada yada yada. But I'm certain that he feels more like how his wife does at this point.
Yeah, and you know what, Lawrence, great point. Exactly. No, he's used to it. Like, she shares her perspective on Instagram, but we don't go to Lauren Holiday. As a matter of fact, I didn't know if you just asked me off the top of his head, or most NBA players or professional athletes, what's his wife's name? If the wife is not, you know, famous,
Savannah.
You ask me Jay-Z's. Yeah, right. Yeah. Jay-Z's wife. I know Jay-Z's wife. I know Steph Curry's wife. But
right.
For the most part, you don't know. So she is used to sharing her opinion in circles that are much smaller than the ones that reach us. You know, we don't talk about the wives, but I think he's used to just kind of playing both of those, having his feet in both of those worlds. Well, he can talk in the press conference and say, yeah, I know what y'all want to hear. I'm in a press conference. I'm reading the room. There are banners up here. They got 17 banners up here. Everybody in the room wearing green and white. Everybody.
Damn. Right. And that's the other thing, too. Like, that's Giannis's partner right there. That's Giannis's boy, right? So they said they ain't even tell him. They didn't even tell Giannis, because it was like, if you tell Giannis, then we're going to have even more trouble doing this. So they just more like, we know we need to do to try to win. We just going to do this with our eyes closed real quick, right? And don't even tell Giannis. So that's what they felt was the best. But, you know, it's always two sides to it. Like, if you feel like sometimes you might feel like, and it's just in general, you feel me? Like, you might feel like you make a great move, but it's going to have some type of impact on the other side, positive or negative, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Lawrence. Now, look, guys, I know I'm putting you on the spot. Can you go back to the picture? The IG with the picture of the whole community out there, and Lauren has her writing. Instead of, you know, she had a great line in there, that image, where it says, being vulnerable helps me heal. But being vulnerable helps me heal. This isn't new. We've been traded before. Each time we felt something different, but this time it crushed me. Woo! It crushed me, she said. Now, look, Lawrence, I'm going to tell you what since we're being real, we're not going to play the PC game. We don't have to do that on Brother From Another. If you're listening on Sirius XM Channel 85, we appreciate you watching on YouTube, Peacock TV, however you're consuming. We really appreciate it. So we're not doing the PC thing. I see two things here. One that I'll bet Lauren Holiday will say out loud. And the other one, I don't know if the Holidays want to go here. One is that corporate America didn't think it through. Corporate America was not sensitive. Corporate America was not empathic. It was just strictly business. Okay, you're traded. Your contract says you can be traded. So it matches up. Okay, see you later. We got Dame Lillard. We're good. You helped us win a championship in 2021. That's over. Now we're moving on, trying to win another one. Thanks so much. Nice parting gifts as you exit stage left. Okay, she got that part. Here's the other part. Lawrence, why was Dame Lillard traded to Milwaukee in the first place? Because that was not his first choice. As a matter of fact, he didn't want to go there. Milwaukee was not in the conversation until Giannis spoke up. And start throwing some stuff out there. Hey, listen, if I can't win a championship.
Yeah. That's right. So,
like, it wasn't clear enough communication. If Giannis felt that way, he could have, I don't know if he did, but he maybe could have gone to the management and said, look, I'm just gonna, this between us, I don't think Middleton has it anymore, but Drew's a real one.
I
want Drew on my team, but anybody else y'all can go with. He didn't say that. He threw it out there that if they don't make upgrades, their championship roster.
Yeah. He just said by any means necessary.
So he kind of made it happen. Is it fair to say that he kind of made this happen?
Definitely, you know? Dog. Definitely. And like you mentioned earlier, Drew Holiday obviously helped him. When the NBA championship was a very important piece, especially defensively, right? But that's 2021. You know, they couldn't advance in the playoffs this past season. So, you know, something had to change. And Giannis made that known loud and clear. And because he didn't, you know, because he didn't name names and, you know, keep players off limits, so Milwaukee, like, all right, well, you know, this what you want. We got to, we going to get right. one of them dudes. And that's Dame. So whether it's going to work out or not, they had to change it up based off of what Giannis said.
But I think this is something that we need to keep in perspective when we talk, and it's, I know we're guilty of it. Everybody's guilty. I'm guilty of it. When we talk about trades, hey, trade Dame, would you trade Giannis for this? Would you trade LeBron if the team is not doing well? We just throw it out there without really thinking about the impact. I got it. Yes. So thank you, Lauren Holiday, for that lesson. It's an important lesson. I'm serious. Now, on the flip side, there's Evan Neal of the New York Giants. And he also, Evan Neal also gave us a few lessons over the last 48 to 72 hours. Now, if you haven't been keeping up, Evan Neal had himself a night on Monday night. He had a night. It was bad. The Giants gave up 11 sacks. So put some of them on Daniel Jones.
Yep.
Put half of them, as I said, put half of them on Daniel Jones. Give him half.
Half of them definitely on Daniel Jones.
Okay. And then you gotta spread it around. Okay, put one or two on the coaching staff. Get in one. Yeah. Then that still leaves some offensive linemen, including Evan Neal. And Evan Neal gave an interview and he said, look, you gonna boo me? They're booing it. And they had these chants that Evan Neal sucks. They were chanting that. The guy was a number seven overall pick. So out of Alabama. And they have high expectations for him. They said, Evan Neal sucks. Evan Neal sucks. And they're booing him. He gave an interview. He said, go ahead and boo louder. And I'm a Lion. Woo! I'm a Lion. Thanks. Y'all are sheep. You're sheep. The person that's commenting on my performance, what does he do? Flip hot dogs and hamburgers? Most critics really don't understand the game of football to the level that we understand in this building. So why would a Lion, Lawrence, concern himself with the opinion of a sheep? Woo! He said that. He said, it goes on and on. But he said what he said. It went out there. And as you can imagine, New York City, New Jersey, Connecticut. That didn't really go well. That didn't really go well from a media perspective. Here's just one sample. I mean, just one sample of a critic, a radio commentator with his response to Evan Neal's commentary.
Are you kidding me? I'd cut his ass. I would. How dare you? These people pay your salary. They pay an obnoxious amount of money to park, an obnoxious amount of money for PSLs to sit there and watch this pap, and you call them hamburger flippers? What, you're so much better? I'd rather have a guy that's flipping hamburgers blocked than your piece of garbage ass. Who the hell are you to talk to fans like that? You piece of garbage. I hate when players do that. You're not above us. What, because you happen to play a sport? You're better than me. You're better than the people that pay your salary. These Giant fans were here before you, and they'll be here after your sorry ass is cut. What a piece of human trash. And I don't want to hear some apology. I don't want to hear, oh, I was taken out of context. I didn't mean, I don't want to hear, done. I would cut his fat ass. You see him in the mall at Willowbrook, boo his ass. If you see him on the DMV, boo him. Don't stop booing him. If he goes to the Pro Bowl, boo him. If he wins a Super Bowl, boo his sorry ass. Screw that guy. We're not nobody. Flipping, but how do you condescend to people that pay to watch you play? Poorly, I might add.
All right, Lawrence, that was Don LaGreca on a Michael K show. He's got some feelings. He feels some kind of way about Evan Neal's comments.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. I want to hear your thoughts on that. What are your thoughts on this whole situation?
I think, you know, a lot of the, you know, radio personalities in New York sports and the Giants and media and the fans, You know, I think they tripping for real. Now, this is the thing. This is why, right? Evan Neal know he ain't playing good, right? He know that. He, you know, if I ain't playing good, I don't need to hear from dude who could probably be. What he's saying is, I don't want to hear from dude who closer to flipping hot dogs, however you flip hot dogs. I don't know how you do that. But he don't want to hear from dude who closer to flipping hot dogs than doing what he has to do as a right tackle in the NFL. So I don't think he's saying he better than them. He just wants to know what these people are doing, questioning him about his profession. None of us want to get told at our job that we suck. Imagine walking into the NBC Sports Studios and everybody just laughing at you or saying, you know, Lawrence sucks. I mean, you know, that would make me say something too if I walked into NBC Sports and everybody said that I suck. So you caught
that
the young
to me
guy.
Every time I come to Stanford, that's exactly what happens. That's exactly
you gotta let
what
him
happens
have it.
To me.
You got to let him have it then, Holly.
That's why I ain't going to Stanford, because I don't want to hear that. You know, I feel better. I feel better here at home. You know, that's what happens.
Yeah, so there you go. So, yeah, man, in a moment of frustration when you already know, you ain't been good on the field, that's not what I'm questioning. But just sometimes these athletes, they're going to go back at you. And what other reason are you going at him? Because you want a response. Like, you want something. Of course they want him to play well. They don't want him to play well more than he wants himself to play well. So, you know, to my knowledge, he ain't never been talking to the fans and the media in this fashion. So it's not like this is something that he always do. Like, his line just gave up 11 sacks. You know, he got caught in, you know, he frustrated right now. So now all these people is mad at him. But all it'll take is for him to improve and they'll be all right again. But that play right there, that's crazy. So, like, I get both sides of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get the both sides. Like, you pay the money. You pay the money to watch him play. And then you go out here and watch him block his own man. Like, come on, dog. That's your star tight end. You can't block him. So, like, I feel y'all. But, man, just like that, man. You know, well, you don't have to go and tell this man he's sucking all that stuff, man.
Okay, but, you know, there's a lot here. There's a lot to kind of pull from this conversation. Can't we all get along? No. No, we can't. We can't get on. So Evan Neal says, hey, what do they know? Probably flipping burgers, you know, hot dogs, you know, they I'm a lion. They're sheep. They call them sheep. They're just followers. They're lemmings. So he's really insulting. He's insulting what he thinks the profession might be, and not insulting just the profession. Just your mentality. It's a personality flaw. You're a sheep. I'm a lion. I'm above you. You're just a follower. Okay, that's one. So he insults the fans. Then Don LaGreca here from the Michael Kay Show calls Evan Neal a piece of garbage. So he's like, the irony is just killing me. The irony is, hey, you think you're better than me? Well, you're a piece of crap. That's what he really wants to say. He wants to say even more than that. He could.
Yeah.
So you're thinking he's condescending, and it was a condescending remark, but then you come back and you make a dismissive remark and just say you want to boo him. Now, you want to take it out of context. Before Evan Neal was talking about the game, the radio host, hey, you see him at the mall, you boo him, you see him at the DMV. Hey,
yeah.
I ain't booing him at the DMV. I'm booing the DMV for making me wait that long. Yeah, I'm just mad that I have to be here that long. Right. I'm not, Evan Neal, I don't have a problem with him at the DMV. I have a problem with him when he's blocking. He's supposed to be blocking a member of the Seattle Seahawks, and he's failing to. Okay, that's his problem. But the DMV is our problem. But anyway, he wants to take it beyond that. But see, this is where, so he's wrong. Radio host is wrong. Evan Neal is wrong. And I'm going to tell you where you're wrong. Lawrence, I'm going to tell you where you're wrong.
Where you think?
Yep. Look. It's the entertainment business. And nobody cares who the critic is. you're going to be dealing with critics who are, some of them are qualified, are eminently qualified to judge you. Whatever you're doing, they know it. They went to school for it. They used to do it. So some former athlete, some former offensive lineman might be in there booing Evan Neal. Somebody who played in the NFL, booing him. Former Giant, booing him. Yeah. And then there's somebody who never played football, and they're mad because they're out in traffic on a Monday night. I'm tired. I worked earlier today. Tickets are overpriced. The beer sucks. I'm just not happy. The team is bad. We made the playoffs last year. Now we can't beat anybody. We only beat the Cardinals. This is frustrating. Yeah. And I'm out here, and I'm watching this guy. So I have no expertise whatsoever. That's the deal. That's what we signed up for. It's what you signed up for. It's what I signed up for, too. Hey, everybody criticizing us right now, everybody's liking. I know everybody's liking. Love the show. 5 stars on podcasts, all this stuff. But there are people who don't like it. They didn't go to journalism school. They didn't put the work in that I put that I did. They didn't do it. Okay, fine. Yeah. But so what? It's the entertainment business. They like it or not. And we do the same things. If you go to a movie and you don't like the movie, you'll tell people not to see it. You're not an actor. I don't think so. I'm not. Yeah, like, are you a screenwriter? I'm not.
Yeah.
So that's missing the point. You have fans. And when fans comment on what you do, let me tell you something, Lawrence, and you take it from here. When fans comment on what you do with passion, whether it is positive or negative, that is good for business. That is good for business. It's not bad. It's good.
I'll say this. I think when he said, I'm a lion, they sheep, I think he means that simply in terms of as far as football. He says something about them not being able to see the game the way that they do, which is the truth. And I think he's just talking about it from that perspective. Now, going to journalism school and being an actor and doing sports media, we might not all, you know, have the same talent, but we're all mostly physically able to do it because, you know, we talk and we write and we have opinions, right? But to do what he does, you have to be a certain type of physical specimen of a human and have certain physical skills to do that. What he does is a lot less that is in the minority of people who could do what he does. So that's probably why, you know, he felt the way he felt. And again, this dude is a first round pick. He playing like they say he is. Like he not good right now. He ain't good. So that's and he know that, right? And as a first round pick, all of that just built up and he lashing out. And I don't think it's I do not think it was the right thing to do. But we just talked about Lauren Holiday, and she talked about the human aspect of sports.
Yeah.
And that's what I see he's letting out. He's like, that's getting to him. Like, that's got into his feelings. So he lashing out. The people responding to what he did, now they could be using it for entertainment. Like that rant that we just heard of Buddy. I saw another tweet that said, hey, Evan, come on our show. We'll treat you with respect for those idiotic remarks you said. And I was like, well, damn. Like, it started off good, what you were saying.
Yeah. That's good.
But then, like, now he ain't going to come on there.
Hey, listen, it doesn't matter what the qualifications are. They're watching. They're listening. And that's the entertainment business. And by the way, real quick, the fans don't pay the salary. The fans don't pay the salary. TV money does.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
All right, hey, game tonight, Thursday Night Football, big game for both franchises. For Chicago, they're just trying to get a win. The Bears just trying to win a game. And the Commanders start off 2-0, lose their last two, trying to get back over 500. So we'll see what happens and see if Justin Fields can continue the momentum of his mostly good game, mostly good Connor Rodgers against the Broncos, fell apart in the end. What do you expect to see tonight, Connor, in this Thursday Night Football game?
You would actually think a lot of points, which is kind of risky to say on Thursday night. But you look at the Bears, their secondary didn't start off the year very well, and now they're just injured. So across the board, there's at best a lot of question marks there. And here's the thing with Washington. They're a team that you have Terry McLaurin, you have Jahan Dotson, you got a lot of different pass-catching talent, including Brian Robinson in the backfield as your running back that's a workhorse back as well. Washington's going to be able to throw on the Bears, which I bring all that up to say, Justin Fields, they got to just cut it loose tonight. They got to let Justin Fields play free. He's got to get the run game going as well, but it can't be one of those games where Fields, and it hasn't been that way for the most part this year, where they're having him only drop back 15 to 22 times. He's been somebody that's been asked to drop back 30 times and challenge teams through the air. So a weird Thursday night game where you actually feel like there could be a lot of points scored. And while it's a game that I think Washington ultimately controls and wins, I don't think the Bears get blown out tonight. I think Fields does enough where Chicago hangs around and covers a pretty heavy line that's been right around a touchdown.
Yeah, and you know, Connor, speaking of Justin Fields, obviously it hasn't been going, well for him. There's a lot of questions around him. There's a lot of questions around the offense, the coach, this, that, and the third. But Justin Fields, you know their team, you know their depth, what have you. You got Justin Fields, you got Dak Prescott, and you got Deshaun Watson. So, you know, the Browns are 2-2. The Cowboys are 3-1. Dak, by the way, has the least amount of turnovers of any quarterback in the NFC East. And then you got Justin Fields. I feel like these three quarterbacks right here have been catching a lot of that smoke on social media this particular season. Dak mainly for the game-losing interception against the Cardinals. But then, you know, there's some other first-round quarterbacks out there, you know, Mac Jones, Kenny Pickett, and Joe Burrow, who is hurt but struggling. You know, they're not getting enough smoke. Not that I've seen it, at least, especially when you're talking about a lot of first-round picks. Speaking of Joe Burrow real quick, how do you think what is this for them in week five? Is this a must-win game for the Bengals, or are they dust? Are they going to miss the playoffs if they end up getting upset by the Arizona Cardinals? Because we know the Cardinals is live now. They live against anybody. Josh playing great.
Listen, Lawrence, it is a must-win game, and here's why. It's not because of the time of year we're in. It's the beginning of October. It's because not only do they have a lot of ground to really make up, they have guys that are playing or will try to play through injuries, and they are franchise players. Joe Burrow being numero uno, no duh. But you look at T. Higgins dealing with the rib injury as well. I don't know if he's going to suit up. It would be a really big surprise if he was able to play for this one. But when you hear T. Higgins speak this week, it sounds like he doesn't plan on being out very long. And that's pain tolerance. And that's no joke. So if you lose this game, why are you putting franchise players in a very dangerous situation where they clearly aren't getting better? But if you win this game, maybe you can gut through a couple more weeks and everybody gets right in the second half of the season. Because we know what these guys can do. Burrow, Higgins, Chase, I mean, that trio can go up against anybody in the NFL. I mean, we've literally seen Joe Burrow go to a Super Bowl. Now, when you bring up, you know, the Cardinals in this situation, it's almost, and this maybe is blasphemous to say, it's almost a surprise this game isn't a pick 'em with what we've seen Arizona do. I mean, they're scrappy in every single game. It's not fluky with Josh Dobbs, right? I'm not saying Josh Dobbs is a top 12 quarterback, but they have Hollywood Brown. They have the rookie Michael Wilson, who caught two touchdowns last week. James Conner is a reliable three-down back in the backfield. They're a scrappy team with a real genuine offense. They don't have really any talent on defense, but they have a defensive head coach where they're trying to put the pieces together until they could actually draft and sign those pieces in the future. So Arizona's for real, and they're going to hang around in a ton of games. You have Josh Dobbs using his legs. He obviously can attack through the field with those two pass catchers on the outside as well. It's scary for the Bengals. I thought last week they would run over Tennessee and everything would get right in the world for them. I don't feel that same way this week, especially after how they were embarrassed by the Titans.
Yeah,
it was ugly last week. Let me go back for a second. I'm going to go back because, Lawrence, I got to tell you, I got to admit, I saw your feed item on Justin Fields. I said, I got to hear this. Was Justin Fields all the way or all day or something like that was in your feed. And so, look, Bears haven't won a game, and I want both of you to comment on this. Yeah, Justin Fields, and he had a good game, a really good game last week. They didn't win it, but they're winless. The Panthers are winless, and we all know the Bears control their own pick and the Panthers' pick. So we might be looking at 1-2. I know it's early to be talking like this, but it could be the first two picks in the draft. We know Caleb Williams is going to be there. Connor, you first, then let's hear why Lawrence wouldn't do this. But I'm going to ask you, would you reset the clock? I mean, if you have the first or second or third pick and you got a chance to get Caleb Williams, they passed away. They traded down in 23 when they had an opportunity to get a quarterback. They passed. Would you pass again and give up on Justin Fields?
There's no way I could pass again. And here's the perspective for me with Ryan Poles. As much promise as Justin Fields has, and I really liked him in that draft, and I don't think Chicago's done by any means an admirable job of developing him or setting him up, and he's had his own struggles as well. You get one shot as a GM. If you're lucky, rarely ever get two. You really get one shot to draft your quarterback. Ryan Poles didn't draft Justin Fields, but he has stuck by Justin Fields so far. If he goes down that road again and Justin Fields does not come close to his ceiling, while Caleb Williams, Drake May, maybe even Michael Penix, who I really like, this is a deep, deep quarterback class. While those guys are having success, you're fired. I mean, that's the honest world we live in. You're fired and you're never a GM again, ever in your working life, unless some things really go right for you. We don't see a ton of guys get that second chance. So I think ultimately Fields is essentially playing for his career in Chicago, where if they continue to lose every single week, that is guaranteeing the Bears are going to take a quarterback in the draft, and Fields will get a second chance somewhere because talented quarterbacks do. And ultimately he could be the next, you know, we've seen it with Ryan Tannehill. We've seen it with a lot of guys in this league. They go somewhere else after where they were drafted in the first round and it all works out for them. So maybe in the end it works out for both sides.
Definitely a lot of good points made there, Connor. Holly, when I say Justin Fields, no matter what, I'm specifically talking about tonight's game. I don't know how that's going to shake out down the line. I'm just riding the Justin Fields. Okay. Yeah, I'm riding the 335 passing yards, four touchdowns momentum against the, you know, it's hard to say a winnable game for a team that ain't won no game, but it's a winnable game here against the Commanders. But long term, for right now, it's starting to look like Justin Fields would be best suited maximizing his talents elsewhere, especially if they cannot continue to win. And to be honest, we might not even have to wait until the draft for him to get that next opportunity somewhere else. So it might not even be a question by the time we get to that draft. I will say this, if Caleb Williams were to, you know, come into this current Bears structure, it would be tough for him too. It is a
great point.
But to Connor's point, this regime did not draft Justin Fields. They believed in the talent and the fact that he was already there. Like, let's get him some weapons. Let's put something around him. They haven't come close to doing any of that yet. They got DJ Moore, but they are a long ways away. They need an offensive line. They desperately need pass rushers. Their defensive backfield is okay if healthy, but they're a long way away. And I don't know if, you know, Caleb Williams on steroids could save the current Bears structure. But, again, we may not even have to wait that long if the Bears keep on taking these L's.
You know, Connor, I want to talk to you about the drama that I'm paying attention to. They should put it on Bravo late at night. It's Broncos, Jets. We got Zach Wilson. Can Zach Wilson bounce back? That's an undercard. Can Zach Wilson bounce back after having some success last week against Kansas City? But the main event, the O coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett, versus the head coach, Sean Payton, who said of Hackett, hey, it's possibly the worst coaching job in NFL history. Until you watch what I do with the Broncos, because I'm going to do worse than he did. My team's going to give up 70 points. So they went back and forth. What do you expect to see from this game? And who you got? If you had to pick a team, who you got?
I was surprised this launched at 43 points as the total. I think it goes over that because, honestly, I think both offensive staffs empty the bag. And it's really, really funny to say that about Jets versus Broncos, considering where each team is right now, trying to get their season on track. But that's the reality of this one. And I think you bring up a great point, Holly, that Zach Wilson started to get it together against a really good Kansas City defense. Can he double up on that at Denver against a really bad Broncos defense? But I think the main story of this one is the Jets have been kind of talking this week that the pitch count is over for Breece Hall. It's time to unleash Breece Hall. And I think we're going to see the real Breece Hall against Denver, which is the place that he actually tore his knee up last year. He had the mammoth run against them. And then in a later series, he tears up his knee. So a big return for Breece Hall. And I think that's the reason the Jets win. They're 2-point underdogs in this game. Denver's a weird place to play. You get a little, you know, chicken kind of feeling when you go on the road, West Coast feeling. But the Jets, they have a way, way better defense, and they should honestly win this game just based on talent alone. But listen, if Zach Wilson reverts back to what he showed against the Patriots, that's why that line is in favor of Denver. But ultimately, I think the Jets win a relatively close, high-scoring game.
Yeah, I'm with you. And at the very least, I'm rooting for the Jets right now. Hey, I'm rooting for Zach Wilson. You know, I like what, like, it's the same, it's kind of the same thing I felt about Fields. Like I'm riding that momentum that they had, albeit, you know, Zach Wilson was able to do it against a much better team. Also, they're, they're going up against the Broncos. And like you said, Breece Hall being back to full form, that's going to help this offense and especially Zach Wilson a lot. That's what you, if a quarterback's struggling, if a quarterback's doing good, whatever, you need that run game to hold you down. And Breece Hall is definitely going to do that.
Yeah, this game is fascinating. I can't wait to see it. And Connor, look, it's something we'll be talking to you about in future appearances, because I feel like the loser of this game, especially the coaching staff, the losing coaching staff, is really going to be feeling uncomfortable. Now, Sean Payton will be feeling uncomfortable from a financial standpoint because they've really committed a lot to him. But reputation, like, he's got an ego, and it's tangible, his ego. And that's why he got in trouble in the first place, you know, talking like that to Jarrett Bell on the record about another coach. And Robert Saleh, hey, if they can't beat the Jets, if they can't beat the Broncos, you're 1-4. You may be losing credibility and losing your job. But, Connor, always good to see you, man. When we talk again, we will go back and see who actually won this game and what the results are, what the consequences are for the losing coaching staff.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Always a blast. Great to see Lawrence in the main chair over there. And, Holly, it's always a pleasure, man.
Like I saw you yesterday.
Maybe you did.
Hey, that's all right. He's trying to say good to see you again, Lawrence. He's trying to get along with.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
You.
Your expert opinion, you played in Seattle, you know Russ, you know Pete. What happened with that relationship?
Man, you look, man, I'm gonna tell you straight up. I wouldn't be the right person to speak on their relationship because I didn't with them. You feel what I'm saying? So
you didn't mess with who?
I didn't with Pete. Uh-huh. And then I mean, you know, Russ was like just a quarterback for me.
Right.
Yeah, you know I mean. So it wasn't as
you didn't have no relationship. You didn't have no kind of a relationship. Y'all didn't like go to a party. Y'all didn't get together. Y'all didn't do anything. Y'all didn't kick it like that. I mean y'all didn't have a relationship outside of football.
I mean it can't pick up the phone and call old boy or nothing.
Right.
And then I mean, you know
what you mean you couldn't pick up the phone? I mean
I don't got his number.
Oh, but you would. I mean, but if you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Lord, the look on Marshawn Lynch's face. With Shannon Sharpe, you just heard him there, Club Shay Shay. He does a great job. I love it. Love what Shannon Sharpe is doing. But he asked him that question about Russell, and he just kind of looked at him like, what?
Okay. Are you mistaken?
I don't know, Lawrence. I kind of got a problem with this. I got a problem with this. I feel like Russell Wilson is the kid. You know, I'm not saying that. There it is. There it is. There's the look on the face.
That's how I'm gonna come on the show from now on. I'm gonna just keep that face the whole time, right?
Just that look. Just stay in that character. Stay in character. Stay in character the whole time. What? I feel like Russell Wilson is the kid. He's different. And they want him. I think they have two issues. One, they feel like Pete Carroll gave him special treatment. That's clear.
Yes.
Two, he's not like them. He's different. Right. So, like, at one point, Marshawn's like, man, we go over to the house. We're kicking it and all this stuff. And then I call him, and he wasn't hanging with us. And then I called him up, told him I had his back. And it was just weird the way he interacted with me. He's just different. He ain't like y'all. He's just different. He's a different dude. It's a team. You know, everybody ain't gonna be the same. So he's a weird guy. But it's almost like Lawrence. I feel like they're trying to get him. They're trying to do two things. One, they wanted Russell Wilson to fit into their club. But he wasn't that guy. And two, they're still mad at Pete Carroll for what they perceive to be special treatment of Russell Wilson. How do you see it?
And they still mad that, and you see that picture right there, although that's not the picture of them in the Super Bowl, they still mad that they ain't run the ball. He actually, Marshawn Lynch actually had spoke on that a little bit too in that same interview. So a lot of things right here, right? And even it's hard to, because I don't feel like in this particular, you know, instance, beast mode, where you're trying to diss him. But it's like we know how Russell Wilson is and we know how beast mode is. Like all of that's on wax, right? So though when he started to talk about how, you know, if he said, if you want to talk, they told us, this is what he said. They told us if we want to talk to Russell, we got to talk to Pete Carroll first. So this is what I guess, right? From a player perspective and being on a team where football is the ultimate team game, I don't know. I guess you feel slighted that you just can't go and talk to your quarterback at some points.
Yeah.
You know, I don't got no problem with Russell Wilson, you know, not even giving out his number, because we don't give our numbers out to everybody we work with, right? We don't do that. You know,
you still haven't given me your number. You still haven't given me your number. As a matter of fact,
I had to make sure we hosted a show together first. You know what I'm saying? I did the same thing with Michael Smith, too. You know what I'm saying? Don't take it personal. You know what I'm saying?
It's personal. It's personal.
It's personal. I had to talk to Gary.
I had to talk to Natalie just to get your information. But that's all right. Keep going. No, your point. Your point's well taken. Keep going.
So it's kind of a, you know, it's a weird situation, because we've never heard Beast Mode talk about this, right? We've heard Richard Sherman speak on this a lot. And, you know, when he used to be like, we got that championship and we were relevant because of the Legion of Boom, this, that, and the third. Well, guess what? They got rid of the Legion of Boom. So it's clear that, you know, there was favoritism toward the quarterback. But, I mean, there's a lot of times it's always some type of favoritism towards the quarterback. Maybe not to the degree that Russell Wilson has it, where you have to talk to seven people, you know, to get to him. But, you know, it's like that. And I think Marshawn Lynch saying, you know, I ain't mess with Pete like that, and Russ was just the quarterback. That's not the bad part. It's that when it starts to seem like everybody piling on him, that's when it gets like, all right, you know, what are we doing? Just let him be him over here. As long as he come to work, do his job, and that's cool. So I think, you know, that's how it should be, at least. I think he was, because there was some stuff that Beast Mode left out that he wouldn't say. And that's probably right. Probably for the betterment of everybody. So I can appreciate that.
We agree. We agree. I noticed that too. I'll tell you, Lawrence, I already got like 14 jobs, so I shouldn't give myself another project. But there is fertile journalistic ground. If I had time, if I worked in the Pacific Northwest, I'm telling you, out there, my brothers and sisters in the Pacific Northwest, if I had time, I would start working on a project, the play, the pass, whatever. There's a book there. There's a 10-part series there, because there's still so much emotion, Lawrence. There's so much emotion. Beast Mode's got emotions over it. Richard Sherman still is mad about it. And when he does stuff on Prime, when he's on Amazon Prime doing the shows, and Russell does something, he's triggered. He's triggered. Russell, as a Bronco, still triggers his Seattle mind. And he just goes crazy. Those guys are still pissed off. All the fans at that play just changed so many relationships. Because all the stuff Marshawn Lynch said today, guess what? If they just put the ball in his belly, he scores, they're cool. They got two championships. They're back-to-back. They're considered one of the great defenses of all time. They were the number one defense that year, the year before. Ooh, two championships. Are the Seahawks a dynasty? Is Marshawn Lynch a Hall of Famer? All this stuff. Russell's probably not traded. Like, all of that, that one play changed everything. Marshawn and Russell Wilson will be doing commercials together. If Marshawn had gotten the ball.
I think Beast Mode would do it. I think Beast Mode would do a commercial with Russell. I don't think Russell Wilson would do it with him. He'll do the dangerous sandwich. He'll eat the sandwich on so. But I don't, you know what I'm saying? I think Beast Mode, he been in them TV streets since he left the game. What'll be interesting, Holly, is
even
this.
Even before he left.
Right. It'll be interesting once Russell Wilson's career is done, right? Because now you know, he will have played a few years as a Bronco and maybe some years somewhere else. Who knows? All that'll be because like you say, this could be some type of documentary down the line. You know what I'm saying? And it'll be based around that one play, that one decision. Beast Mode said he went to the sideline and laughed at Pete Carroll right in his face. When
Who does that? Who does that? Y'all just lost the Super Bowl. Why is that your response? Like, okay, you're mad at Pete Carroll. Okay, it's what human beings are complex. I can't.
He like,
explain.
Hey man, he like, hey, that what you get, dog. You know you had the beast mode right here.
Yeah, and it's true. Like, yeah, it's true. You know, they
it'll be interesting once his career done. Let's see what Denver Broncos teammates say about Russell Wilson when it's all said and done. Then it's like, whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, hey, live and let live.
Yeah,
that's how I go with it.
Well, all right, pretty close. Get my geography right. Let's go from Washington State, east of Washington, to Colorado. Let's check out Colorado. And I just want to say this, Lawrence. You know, we all been following the Buffaloes, Deion Sanders. It's a great story. But Deion today, okay, I'm going to just play you this Deion sound, and I just have a thought, and I'm going to toss it to you. Here's Deion at his press conference.
Well, we know who's who today, huh? It's a thin line. It's a thin line between love and hate. It's a thin line. Let me see. I could count. 1, 2, 3. This is the first weekend I could count. I appreciate all of you tremendously for your love, your support, your consistency. And let's go.
All right, look, Deion, can I just say this? Look, I'm not a hater. I'm not a Colorado hater if I don't come to the press conference. I'm not a Colorado lover and supporter if I do come to the press conference. I'm a journalist. I'm a storyteller. I'm here. Maybe they're there because they cover Colorado football, but it's a blanket statement now. It's such a cliche. Somebody disagrees with you. Lawrence, we disagree on Justin Fields. We disagree on Evan Neal. Well, you're a hater because you disagree with me. No, it's a disagreement. Or we're playing by two different rules. Deion thinks that attendance equates to love and support, and other stories, I don't know, baseball playoffs, NFL, NBA training camps. They got other stuff to do, man. They ain't going to be following Colorado football all year. Just because they're not there doesn't mean they're hating on your program. And the presence of a journalist there doesn't mean that's somebody on your staff. I just think that's weird. What do you think?
Well, you know, I don't think they'll be missing the Colorado Buffalo Deion Sanders press conference to watch baseball. But that's neither here nor there. Come on, man. We ain't watching baseball over Colorado Deion, gold chains and sunglasses and hat in prime time.
The only baseball you can ignore right now is Tampa Bay, because they ignored it. They ignored their own team, but everybody else. But you think Deion, was he on to something about that thin line between love and hate?
I'm with you on this one. I'll say that. But that's just Deion being Deion. We know Deion. This is what he do. But I'm with you on that. He creating the enemy like Jordan used to do.
And they're going to win this week. I got Colorado this week. How about you?
Oh, yeah, they win.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way.
Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Lawrence, I just want to say the NFL overdid it, defended itself on its Taylor Swift coverage. And I'll just say, one, Taylor Swift's first game, it was Bears, Chiefs, terrible game. And two, even Travis Kelce on his podcast said the NFL went too far. That's just, I think that's overdoing it, overthinking it. How about you?
Yeah, and they did, and that's cool. But at least it ended on NBC, you know, where we work at. So most watched games at the Super Bowl.
Way to bring it back. Good job, Lawrence. That's nice.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.